This week's federal grants for Homeland Security caused an uproar in New York City and around Washington, D.C. The Department of Homeland Security gave 40% less money to the two places that were hit on September 11th, and it increased funds for many smaller, less populated cities and regions.
The New York tabloids pilloried Secretary Michael Chertoff for the move, and the Washington Post quipped, "The bison of the Grand Teton have lived in fear of Al-Qaeda long enough." Earlier today, I asked Mr. Chertoff to explain the reductions for New York and Washington. He contends the grants really haven't been cut.
If you look at the average grant over the last 3 years, you'll see that both of these cities came in pretty close to what that average is. And in the case of New York, New York has gotten twice as much money than the next highest risk city, which is Los Angeles. New York gotten over $500 million in the last 4 years. So we have put an enormous amount of investment in New York, far and away above that in any other city.
But still a 40% cut over last year's allocation.
Well, that reflects in part the fact that last year was an enhanced allocation because the year before had been very low. In other words, we corrected an imbalance in the prior year by giving extra money to New York. But it should not be assumed, therefore, that that extra money, that one-time compensation, now gets carried forward every year into the future.
So you're saying it should be looked at cumulatively over time.
That's exactly right. And that's because, you know, in the end, we're talking about building long-term investments in security. And that means, in the case of New York, we put a lot of money in up front to build those capabilities, but we don't expect that we'll have to continue to invest the same amount every year. It's like building any kind of an investment, even a house. You put the money in to build the foundation and the basic structure. In the second and third years you build out the house, you don't expect to have to repeat the original investment.
There was a RAND study that looked at the cities that are at the greatest risk for terrorism and the lowest risk for terrorism. And 7 of the 10 highest risk cities in that study are going to lose funding compared with last year. 6 of the 10 lowest risk cities are getting more funding. Does that seem out of whack to you?
Well, Melissa, the reason is very simple. We put the money early on in the cities at the highest risk, and we made sure those cities got the money to make them secure. But having done that, it's now time to turn to cities that are lower risk but haven't really gotten that kind of funding. You know, the analogy I use is this. If someone burglarized my house and broke down the front door, I'd make sure first I repaired the front door and I put a lot of locks on the front door. But at some point, after I've put locks on the front door, I've got to start looking at the back door and the windows, too. And just putting more locks on one door is not going to really raise the overall level of security.
Is part of the intent here that the monies should be used not just for terrorism prevention, but also, say, in the event of natural disaster?
Well, we do allow some communities to use the money for various kinds of investments that would serve terrorism and natural disasters, certain kinds of response capabilities, because we are mindful of the fact that sometimes a disaster strikes and you don't know if it's devised by a terrorist or caused by Mother Nature.
There was one part of this that had a lot of people puzzled, and that was that New York City was ruled to not have any national icons. For example, the Empire State Building was classified as a tall office building, not an icon. What would you say national icons are? Would the St. Louis Arch, for example, would that be a national icon?
Well, it's very simple to explain. National icons are generally monuments that don't have people living in them or working in them. If we have a choice between categorizing a building as an icon or as an office building with people who are actually at risk, the office building gets more weighting in the risk calculation, and therefore it's more beneficial to a city like New York to treat it as an office building rather than as a national monument.
And when you look at some of the smaller cities that now have boosted funding, say Louisville, Omaha, Milwaukee, what would you want to see in those cities? What's the threat, and what would you want to see them doing to address it?
Well, let me talk first of all about why cities like that actually do face risk and why it's important to the whole country that those cities get protected. You know, when you're in the city of New York, you're getting your food from other parts of the country, you're getting your electricity from other parts of the country. A place like Omaha has some very critical infrastructure that a large portion of the country depends upon. If that infrastructure were to go down, there'd be an impact not just in Omaha, Nebraska, but across a number of states. Likewise, power plants in New England can have an impact on New York. Tainted food in Wisconsin can affect what New Yorkers eat. So part of our responsibility is to make sure we're protecting all of those valuable assets, even if they're located in comparatively rural or remote areas.
Do you think that's a harder sell?
Well, you know, I think it's not evident necessarily at first blush. I think a lot of time people think the money that protects New Yorkers should come to New Yorkers to spend on their own behalf. But the power grid is a perfect example. A few summers ago, there was a blackout in New York. caused by something that happened in a transformer, I think it may have been in Canada. We're all depending on each other. And so sometimes putting resources into a community that may not have a lot of people, but maybe the place where an important part of the power grid is located, actually has a direct effect in terms of protecting something that's very important to New Yorkers, which is the ability to turn the power on.
Secretary Chertoff, thanks for being with us.
Good to be on.
Michael Chertoff is the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security.